Our reading from God's Word tonight is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. I'll be reading the chapter in its entirety, verses 1 through 23. And if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, that's found on page 976. Ephesians 1, verse, the entire chapter. Hear now the reading of God's holy Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this indescribable, incredible grace that you have given to us through our Lord Jesus, and which you guarantee to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we think about your word tonight, as we reflect on what you have said here, as we hear this word preached to us, we ask that you would be at work by your Spirit to give us some inkling of an understanding of the marvels of what you have done and continue to do for us, that we might delight in you all the more. And please, O Lord, give to your servants clear thinking and clear speech. Help him as he seeks to help your people hear your word tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. focus of our message tonight is going to be here in Ephesians chapter 1, especially verses 13 and 14. As we work our way through the book of Acts in our morning sermon series, throughout that book, throughout the narrative of the early church, we see the Holy Spirit at work from beginning to end. He comes and he sees to it that the gospel of Jesus is spread to the nations. He comes and he gifts the saints for service. And he comes as one who cares for and protects his people, the church. So we see the Spirit at work in all these different ways, and I'm sure we could come up with a list of other ways that the book of Acts shows us the Spirit at work in the lives of Christ's people. So tonight, as a kind of supplement to our morning series, I want to focus on the Spirit's work in the individual Christian's life. So as we're seeing him at work in the big picture, in the big scheme of things in the book of Acts, tonight we want to spend some time thinking about, so that we can appreciate all the more, how God gives that Spirit to you and me individually as believers, and in that way demonstrates his amazing grace and blessing to us. You see, if we're going to live in godly imitation of our forefathers and foremothers in the faith, we need to have the fullness of the Spirit as they did. And so we'll consider a few things about the Spirit from this passage as a means to encouraging us, helping us to rejoice in the gift that God has given, and recognizing that he has also given the power that we might live like our ancestors, as he gives us the Holy Spirit. Three things that we'll look at tonight in this passage. We'll spend the most time considering what it means to be sealed with the Spirit when Paul makes that point at the end of verse 13. And then we'll spend some time thinking about what it means that the Spirit, verse 14, is the guarantee of our inheritance. And then we'll spend a little bit of time, it's not going to be the major focus, but we'll say something about what that inheritance involves and includes. So first of all, what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Part of the gift that God gives his people when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus is the gift of his Spirit. And contrary to some understandings, the gift of the Spirit is not some kind of a second blessing that you get eventually in your Christian life. Rather, the gift of the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of the gospel and is given to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus the moment you come to faith. If you have faith in Christ, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul makes that really clear right here in Ephesians 1. What does he say there about the sealing of the Spirit? When did it take place? Well, he makes the point that when they heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of salvation, he says, when they heard it, they believed it, and having believed, they were sealed with the Spirit. Let me read verse 13 again. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that is, in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You've believed in Jesus. You have already received the gift of the Spirit. You have been sealed with him. So no one, whether back then or now, who believes is left out, but all Christians have this gift. But what does it mean to have this gift of being sealed? Well, first, this language of seal denotes ownership. By giving you his Spirit, by sealing you with his Spirit, God is saying to you, you belong to me, that is to him. You belong to him. The Spirit marks you off as belonging to Jesus Christ and therefore to no one else. When a man and a woman come together in the marriage ceremony, one of the promises that traditionally has been made and some of the words that are used are to say that as I take you to be my wife or to be my husband, what I mean is that there is no one else out there any longer to whom I will be connected in that kind of deep bond. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to you and me as God's gift sealing us, it marks us out, kind of like wearing the wedding ring, a wedding band. It marks us out as belonging to God and therefore not belonging to anyone else. What that means is that God is now your protector. Because you belong to Him, He promises to watch over you, to keep you, to see to it that no ultimate evil befalls you. That even when you suffer in this life and you struggle, that He sees you through it. He brings you out on the other end. Because the fact is, since He has given you the gift of eternal life, no matter what happens in this life, He is protecting you, because even if you die on the other side of it, you're with Him in His presence. So the fact that you are marked out by the Spirit as belonging to Christ means that Father, Son, and Spirit are looking out for you, watching over you, protecting you. To be sealed by the Spirit not only denotes ownership, that we belong to God. To be sealed with the Spirit is another way of saying we have been baptized with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul says, by one Spirit we've been baptized into the one body, the body of Christ. To be sealed is to be baptized, and both of these denote our incorporation into Christ. To be sealed with the Spirit means that you and I are united to the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul elaborates some on that union with Christ in Romans chapter 6, where he explains that we're united with Christ both in His death and in His resurrection. That we've died with Him, and we will be raised with Him as He was raised, so we have been raised in Him, and our mortal bodies will one day be raised in that resurrection to come. So we are united with Christ. We speak of being sealed with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit. It means that we're united with Christ, and therefore we are those who benefit from His work on our behalf. To be sealed with the Spirit means that He is applying to you all the benefits of Christ. Whether we think of justification or sanctification or adoption or glorification and all the wonderful things that Christ has gained for us, being sealed with the Spirit is a reminder and an assurance that all those benefits belong to you. That's what it means to be united with Christ and to have His Spirit. To be incorporated into Christ also means union with His body, the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13, I referred to it a moment ago. The Spirit baptized us, he says, Paul says, into the body. What body is it? It's the body of Christ. So not only does the sealing with the Spirit mean that we're united to Christ, that we've died with Him, that we're being raised with Him, it also means that we have been brought into a union with those, all those who belong to Him, what we call the body or the church of Christ. We might refer to this as something of a practical union, that we have a share in the fellowship of the saints. We have a life together that we share with one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul speaks of each believer receiving a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Your gifts are there to bless and to serve one another. So when Paul says you've been sealed with the Spirit, he's saying you've been incorporated into Christ, which means you've been incorporated into His body, the church, and therefore you are not alone in the faith, but have the blessing of your brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you and you them and to serve the Lord together. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 26, the first section, provides a beautifully written summary of what this communion of the saints means, this bond that we have because we're united to Christ and therefore united with one another, all of which is guaranteed by the sealing of the Spirit. Here's the way the confession puts it. All saints, that means you who have believed in Jesus, all saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by His Spirit and by faith, have fellowship with Him in His graces, sufferings, death, resurrection and glory, and being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. Summarizing for us what Paul is bringing to our attention, whether here in Ephesians 1 or in 1 Corinthians 12 or any number of other places, the fellowship we have, the union we have with Christ, brings us into union with His body, the church, and therefore each of us has a share in each and every other one that is part of the church of Jesus. To be sealed with the Spirit means that God, that you belong to God, and two, that you have been united to Christ. And all the depth of what that means, including united to His body, the church. Third, sealing with the Spirit means that the Spirit of Christ has come to dwell in your heart and in your life. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 20, 21 and 22. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Notice how Paul has used, said it quite in the exact same form as in Ephesians, but he's saying the same thing here as he brings together the anointing and the sealing and the Spirit as a guarantee. And what does he say? He has given the Spirit in our hearts. If you have been sealed with the Spirit has come to dwell in your life. The Spirit has come to be present with you wherever you go and whatever you're doing. It means you're never alone. This is Christ's way of fulfilling His promise. When He sent the church out and He said, go, make disciples of all the nations, and He added the promise there, He said, and behold, I am with you always. God sends the gift of the Spirit on the church. He gives the gift of the Spirit to each of you individual believers to be with you wherever you go in fulfillment of Christ's promise. If you have the Spirit of Christ with you, you have Christ with you. And as the Spirit comes into your hearts, He becomes the animating principle of your life. He doesn't come merely to be present. He comes to be present in order to guide and direct and shape and mold you. You might look more and more like Christ. Listen to the words of Romans 8, verses 9 to 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Notice what Paul is saying there. If you have the Spirit, you have life, and a life that will become filled with righteousness, because the Spirit is there working in you. You are alive in Him even if your mortal body is dead. And notice what he says. Not only does he come to change us and transform us and mold us into the image of Christ as that animating principle of our lives that is filling us and working righteousness in us, he assures us here in verse 11 that he will also give life to our mortal bodies. That's the guarantee of a future resurrection and eternal life. It's the Spirit who gives this life and who gives the resurrection body that each of you will receive. So to be sealed with the Spirit means to have the presence of the Spirit in your life in these ways. And it means that you have the power and the ability to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You have the power through the Spirit to live out the selfless life like Barnabas, willingly to sell all and lay it at Jesus' feet to be used in His service. You have the Spirit, and therefore you have the power to avoid becoming like Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Spirit, who pretended to give all, but only were giving part. You have the Spirit, so you don't need to be like that. But you can be like Barnabas, the giver. Having the Spirit in your life as this animating principle, having the Spirit in your heart, means that He leads you and He guides you, and therefore you are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Your whole life becomes ordered to the will and the way of God. You belong to Him, and He gives you that amazing gift of calling you His child, His sons and His daughters. And that's the gift of the Spirit of adoption. And so as a son of God, as a daughter of God, your life begins to reflect your Heavenly Father. It begins to reflect your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have the gift of the Spirit, you are able to live a life that is no longer me-centered, but God-centered, Christ-centered, in your home, in your families, among your friends, in your workplace, in your schools, in all of your recreations and hobbies. You've been sealed with the Spirit. He's present with you. So you can live in the service and for the glory of God. That's what it means to be sealed with the Spirit. Of course, that was the 30,000-foot view. I said a lot of things about the Spirit there. Feel free to talk to me afterward. I'll be happy to share my notes, because that's a lot to cover. This is like a big overview of the doctrine of the Spirit in a few minutes. But let's move on and say something about the Spirit as the guarantee of our inheritance. As Paul says in verse 14 in Ephesians 1, the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. The word here translated as guarantee is a Greek term that literally means a down payment, a security deposit intended to guarantee that the full payment is going to come in the future. In this case, the down payment is the beginning enjoyment of the inheritance to follow. You see, the Spirit's work in your life today is a foretaste of the fullness to come. God has sealed you with the Spirit, given you the gift of the Spirit, so that you will understand, realize, and appreciate that there is so much more that He has planned for you. He will give you when He returns for you and brings you into His eternal presence. So the Spirit's work in your life today is a foretaste of the fullness to come. And what does this down payment, what does this guarantee look like? Well, first of all, it's seen in the past supernatural acts like Pentecost and the various miracles that He worked. In Acts 2, on that day of Pentecost, Peter proclaims and he says, "Look, these people are not drunk as you suppose. Rather, what you see happening is the fulfillment of God's promise." And not only is Pentecost a tangible part of the Spirit's guarantee, so were all of the miracles of Jesus and the apostles. In our series in Acts in the morning services, I've referred a number of times to Hebrews chapter 2. I'd like to turn there, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, so we can appreciate how the Spirit that is a guarantee of what is to come. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will." The signs and the wonders and miracles are all associated with the Holy Spirit, and their function is to testify to that salvation that God has brought through Christ. And of course, that salvation includes the eternal inheritance that God has promised. And so the Spirit, as a gift, we see how He is the guarantee of what is to come in the future. As we look back to all these miracles and wonders that He effected and brought to pass in the early church. Second, the guarantee of the Spirit is seen today in your lives in at least three ways. So not only do we see the guarantee of the Spirit, that He's the guarantee of what is to come by looking back at all the various supernatural acts and deeds and wonders that He did, but we see the Spirit as the guarantee of what is to come in our own lives in at least these three ways. First, the testimony of the Spirit that we are sons of God and His heirs. Listen to the words of Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." That testimony is not just in the past for Christians who lived 2,000 years ago. That testimony of the Spirit is part of the gift that God has given in giving you His Spirit as a seal and as a guarantee. The fact that you have believed in the Lord Jesus, the fact that you pray to God, the fact that you've come here tonight to worship God. The Spirit uses these things to testify to you. He takes His Word and He brings it to life for you so that you cry out to God, Abba, Father. As you do that, He is testifying and reminding you that you belong to God and are an heir of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the guarantee of the Spirit is experienced through that testimony of the Spirit, through His Word, that we are sons and daughters of God. But that guarantee is also seen in our lives today through the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Joining together with the fact that the Spirit testifies to you that you are a child of God is the fact that He brings about this kind of fruit in your life. The love and the joy and the peace, all of these are tastes of the new heavens and the new earth to come that will be filled with the fruit of the Spirit in perfection. So as you see this fruit developing in your own life and in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ around you, the Spirit is assuring you. This is part of the down payment that there is a world to come where these things will be ours in perfection. So the Spirit functions as a guarantee of that inheritance as He brings forth this fruit in our lives. We also see, thirdly, that the Spirit is a guarantee of what is to come. And He points to what is to come as He gives gifts to His people. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, all of these speak of a variety of gifts, whether they're gifts of service or gifts of speech, of preaching and teaching, or gifts of reaching out in kindness, gifts of administration. There's a whole slew of gifts. And what Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12, that's just a little taste. Because every good thing that you have is God's gift to you. And those are reminders that the Spirit has come to guarantee the eternal gift, the eternal inheritance that God gives you and me through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the Spirit as the seal. We have the Spirit as guarantee. What is this inheritance that is sealed to us and guaranteed to us? Well, Paul summarizes it in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3 and continuing on through this chapter, as he reminds us that we are given every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. And he tells us that this blessing and inheritance includes our election to belong to God, our predestination, our adoption, verse 5, our redemption, and our forgiveness, verse 7. All according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. The blessings that Paul describes here that are part of our inheritance are not described to us as someone who skimps, who gives only a little bit. You notice that language. Every blessing, and it's lavished. It's the riches of His grace lavished upon us. And that inheritance includes, as Paul puts it in verse 10, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And he goes on to say at the end of the chapter that he put all things under Christ's feet. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. This is all-encompassing language to say that there is not one square inch over which Christ is not king, and therefore there is nothing that is left out of the inheritance that God gives you in Christ. Christ returns and He establishes with finality His kingdom. Will begin to taste and experience the marvels of the inheritance. Luke 12, Jesus tells us it's the Father's delight, His good pleasure, to give us the kingdom, the inheritance that is sealed and guaranteed to us by the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. That means life. Life as it's meant to be guaranteed the inheritance of God means not simply life, but meaningful and fulfilling life. That's what it means to be in His kingdom. For the greatest part of the inheritance that the Spirit seals and guarantees for us is God Himself. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's your inheritance. It's God Himself. And He's given you the gift of His Spirit to seal your salvation to you and to guarantee you and assure you that He, God Himself, is your eternal inheritance. You get to taste now, but then, at the return of Jesus, you experience it in all its fullness. The Spirit is here with you to remind you, to assure you of that truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Spirit who comes to us doing so many wonders in our lives. We thank You especially that He is this guarantee that we taste of what is to come today. But because we have the Spirit, we know that we will enjoy You, our eternal inheritance, forevermore when You come again. We thank You, O Lord, and we pray that You would give us day by day a deeper appreciation for the grace You have shown us. In Jesus' name, Amen.